Hello, ODAC fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the ODAC podcast. My name is JJ Nekloff. I'm the Associate Commissioner with the Old Dominion Athletic Conference. And as always, joined by the commish, Brad Bankston. Brad, how you doing today?
Doing great, JJ. Looking forward to the first day of competition of the fall season. A lot of things on the slate today.
Opening day is here, and this is day one of year 50 of the ODAC's 50th year of competition. That's the 25-26 season here. The league started in 1976-77, so this is bang on the 50th year as we go ahead and get moving here. 46 events today here on this Friday, August 29th, so not quite to 50. God, that would have been nice to have, wouldn't it? Have been to have 50 events on the first day of the 50th year. They've been kind of cool to have, but not quite getting there. But still very busy in each of our sports here. If not today, then this weekend that we have active, and that includes even some of our spring championship sports with men's tennis, having a few teams involved in some invitationals and both men's and women's golf going, as well as our traditional fall sports of cross country, field hockey, football, men's and women's soccer, and women's volleyball. So we are fully ready to go here, just a few weeks away from, say, our single discipline equestrian getting involved, swimming, thinking about hitting the pool come October. And then before you know it, we'll have basketball and wrestling also moving on in before we get to the end of the semester, when indoor track and field has about 2 weeks of competition before we turn the calendar and flip to January. But obviously lots of things in between here and then. As we talked to you last time on the ODAC podcast, which was 2 weeks ago, we mentioned that we would do this show. We thought about doing it yesterday, but we figured there were a lot of things going on yesterday, so we'd hit it today as kind of a kickoff on the opening day. But we've got all our preseason polls that have come across, including a preview, if you will, with the cross-country coaches from Washington League Women's Squad, Mike Dager, and Shenandoah University Men's and Women's Programs, Andy Morocco. If you want to listen to that one, you can access it on the ODAC website or all three of the major social media channels for the ODAC on Facebook, X, and Instagram. So you can go ahead and take a look and see what they're going to be doing today, as most of the ODAC schools are going to be competing at Bridgewater tonight. And Bridgewater is the host of the ODAC Championships this year, Brad. So they're getting kind of a taste of it just a little bit. It's really like a teaser trailer, if you will, because it's a 4K run, I think, on both sides. Maybe it's a 5K run on the men's side, but I really think it's a 4K on both sides, just to kind of get out there and get a workout in. And we've got a lot of new faces as we talk to the coaches about. There's just 4 of 14 all-conference runners back on the women's side, 7 of 14 on the men's side. And, oh, by the way, we increased both of those to 21 runners this year for all-conference. So big-time opportunities for our people to make a step up in the cross-country world, for athletes to make a new name for themselves when it comes to awards.
Yeah, I know Bridgewater's super excited to host, and we're really fortunate, I guess, having been at Green Hill Park the last couple of years for our championship, and then having Shenandoah kind of in our hip pocket as well, with a great facility in Winchester to host championships. So looking forward to kind of how things shake out. As you know, kind of some of these first initial cross-country meets are more just kind of get your legs out and stretch. And, you know, it's as we see things develop, get people familiar with the course at Bridgewater. It's more of a loop. They're on campus. It doesn't go really south. It's not off site. When we host there in end of October, first part of November there on that weekend, we'll be on campus, which is somewhat unusual for us. Certainly has been most recently. We haven't had a lot of on-campus sites. I think one of the only few that we've had over the years have been running at Virginia Wesleyan, maybe. Yeah. We ran there in the late 2010s kind of time frame, and then our visit to Bridgewater. So, looking forward to that, and of course, kind of seeing how that developed. And as you said, we've had a lot of people that have left from a senior kind of standpoint and graduate participation that have moved on. And it'd be nice to see some new faces on the podium when we get to the end of the year for the championship medal presentation.
Yeah, it's a really cool spectator experience at Bridgewater too. Is if you listen to the interview that we did with Mike and with Andy, Mike was specific to talk about how you can see the entire course pretty much from any angle that you're at. So if you're a spectator there, as long as you're not 5 foot standing behind a 6 foot person, then you should be able to see, you know, most of the course and get a good angle of just about everything there. So it's a good place to come out and watch the cross country championships and see just who's going to be stepping up and taking over some of those all-conference spots that are both expanded and left open by graduation. You mentioned Green Hill Park. That's actually the host of the regional this year, with Roanoke College hosting that. So our people still get to go down there. Talking about some tweaks they've had is Coach Morocco at Shenandoah. He's also on the national committee, so they've been talking a little bit about the regional setup for all of the cross-country regions around the country and just see if there's a little bit of tweaks to be made here. And I think for the first time ever that Andy mentioned is that we've get a South Region National Championship, with the course down at the Millikan Research Center in Spartanburg, South Carolina, will be hosting the national championship. So they've got some definite tweaks to work on with that one here. There'll be the pre-nationals that they'll have. I think they're hosting three or four Division III meets there this year to try to get ready for it, as they know that there are some turns that they need to work on. Again, something that Mike and Andy either mentioned when we were doing the interview, or maybe just off the call a little bit when we're kind of doing our background conversation a little bit. But they've got some things to work on at that course. But still, first time we've had it in the South region, which will be nice if we have another strong year like last year, where we had 30 runners that qualified to compete with three All-Americans. So really very cool. Looking forward to it with the cross-country world. Want to segue into some of the other preseason polls we got here, and I'm going to go in order of release. So, you know, football, women's soccer, men's soccer, women's volleyball, and then field hockey here. So starting off with the football poll, which came out last week on Wednesday, it was Randolph-Macon who stayed at the top. You know, they got all eight first place votes that they could in the coaches, and all coaches polls or in all preseason polls, you can't vote for your own program. So there's always one first place vote, I guess, that you can't get. So we'll see exactly what it looks like this year, but Randolph-Macon, WNL, Shenandoah are your top three. Looking to see exactly where it goes this year, because we've got some change coming out with Ferrum gone and Roanoke coming in and Gallaudet now also in the league as an associate member. So really looking forward to some exciting things, it should be a good year for football in the ODAC, and an opportunity for some people to, again, in this sport, to make their name with the amount of players that are not coming back from all conference teams over the past year. But I think one position that might be a little bit strong, that we've got some returners, is at quarterback. You know, in normal years, we look at some things where we don't have a whole lot of quarterbacks back. I know we lost the offensive player of the year from last year, which was the quarterback from Shenandoah, Stephen Hugney. So he's not back, but Randolph-Macon's quarterback is back. Hampton-Sydney's quarterback is back and healthy. We'll have to see exactly what these players look like, in addition to some really strong defenses will be out there.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to kind of see the two new entries as well. You know, see what this looks like for Roanoke. Of course, we had a little introduction for Roanoke last year with their four games that they played at the club level, and you know, the massive crowd that was there for the first, I guess, that first game that they played when they were at home against Hampton-Sydney's JV team. So they start out at home that first weekend. So we'll have a little bit of a quick dose with the Roanoke College Maroons. And then it's great having Gallaudet in the league. You know, it really is. I'm excited for them. I know that they're excited with their new coach, Coach LaFleur's, and I hope that he enjoys the competition in the league. Again, we'll all kind of have a little bit different experience, certainly working with Gallaudet as we move forward. And for those that are going to be traveling up there to see games, it's a different environment than it is that you may have on your own home field. And again, when they come play at some ODAC venues, we'll have someone there to sign the national anthem and be able to provide a liaison for their team as they visit our campus institutions. So I'm looking forward to seeing how all of that materializes this year. It's great to have, a solid group of schools. It's unfortunate we have a bye during the season, given the fact that we have nine schools in the lineup. But it also certainly helps to have an eight conference games and only really having to fill those first 2 weeks of non-conference play, which really, I think, seems to be easy. And it's amazing to me that it's so hard to fill week three. But those leagues around us are large enough to where it makes that more problematic. So very excited, of course, with Ferrum leaving, that Gallaudet was there. And then, of course, with Roanoke adding, it really just seems like it's an old shoe. It fits well, right? You know, and hopefully that's the way that's going to turn out this year. We'll have a great year.
Now, looking forward to it. Obviously, the NCAA playoffs start in the middle of November here. The second week is always that week of of Thanksgiving, the Stag Bowl. Again, we're at a 40-team bracket, so we'll be into January before we have the Stag Bowl up at the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio this year. So it'll be second time that the Stag Bowl will be there, so really looking forward to that, to see a game on that type of stage again in an NFL stadium, at least an NFL preseason stadium where they play that first preseason game, the Hall of Fame game. But we've also got the Chesapeake Challenge to look ahead to. This past year we had it neutral site in Salem. We won't have that this year. It'll be back to like it was the first year, and that the ODAX top seed will host the second seed from the Landmark Conference, and then vice versa in the other game of our two bowls, the Cape Henry and Cape Charles bowls. So we'll make sure we sift those out as we get to it. Those are at the same time as the NCAA first round game. So we'll have to see if it's one or hopefully two NCAA teams for the ODAC this year. But assuming it's, let's use the example of it just being one ODAC team in there, that team will go to the NCAA tournament, and the ODAC's two and three teams will be the ones that play in the Chesapeake Challenge against the Landmark, two teams that'll be in as well. So it's the third year of a four-year deal I think we have going on with this one, yet to be determined what we do next year about where the games are, but still looking forward to it throughout the season here and then coming into the playoff picture. Switch to the other football, if you will, and that's been heavy on my head is soccer, just because I'm a soccer guy and got to see some of the Premier League Summer Series in Atlanta this year with, thanks to old friend, Isaiah Rogers, former Emory and Henry running back and ODAC staffer here for a little bit. He's working for Mercedes-Benz, so got me some really nice tickets down there. It was a good time for my dad and I, as a gift for him for his 70th birthday this year, so that was kind of cool. But looking at ODAC soccer, start on the women's side, where we had another school that earned maximum points, and this was Washington and Lee, that is nationally ranked going into the year, I think number 11 in the country coming up. They got 12 first place votes, which was the maximum they could in the 13-team ODAC, so 144 points. Virginia Wesleyan right there, University of Lynchburg also right there, Bridgewater having over 100 points in the poll, and then Randolph-Macon and Shenandoah sitting there above 90. I think if you talk to Coach Tiffany Pins at Washington Lee, like I did a little bit last year, I think she admitted that last year's team, which made a deep run, was a little bit ahead of its time. She thought that this was early for them and that this was the year that she was earmarking. So I think, let alone what the numbers look like here in the poll, based on the returning talent that they've got, the class that they brought in, this would appear to be the year that it could be Washington and Lee type of year. But also, we've seen Virginia Wesleyan maintain. We've seen Lynchburg take a step up here. You know, could it be somebody else from, you know, moving up the ranks in the conference? Guilford there made a step there with former head coach Justin Mullen. Really looking forward to seeing what the women's soccer ranks do this year, Brad.
Yeah, I looking at the preseason poll materials that you put together, which are great as usual. You know, you do see more than 2/3 of the all-conference players returning at each position, really, with the exception of goalies. So, you know, that means we've got a little talent left. And of course, a lot of that, as you just mentioned, a lot of those are from Washington Lee, certainly with the exceptional play that they had last year and being preseason ranked. You know, and you've got some really interesting dynamics with that group. We have new coaches coming in, like you said, inheriting programs that have done and made a move recently. And you've got guys that have been in the league for a long time. I mean, you know, think about Todd Olson. Think about Phil Benny. Think about Kevin Porterfield. I mean, you know, we've got some long in the tooth coaches that have done some great things and won a ton of games. And if I'm not mistaken, and I think somewhere I read, and I don't have the note in front of me, but, you know, Todd might be the winningest active Division III soccer coach in the country right now with his number of wins. So I know that he's up there in a list, and you know, it's nice to kind of, you know, they were kind of at the top list. They're kind of making their way back up there. And of course you got Jeff Bowers, who's been doing it for a long time as well at Virginia Wesleyan, and just done an exceptional job. And you know, our women's soccer every year, I still think it's similar to softball for us. We've had some runs nationally in women's soccer. We've had a national championship in women's soccer over the years. You know, they get it done. They get it done on the pitch, and hopefully we'll have another great year and get to the semifinals and the finals of the conference tournament. And it'll be touch and go because, as you know, soccer, you know, and every now and then you may end up with a team that was a little bit of an underdog that gets that goal, and you know what, you go down. And and we've had a few of those over the years, both on the men's and the women's side, that have left some heartbreaks for teams that believe they were going to win it and tragically at the end for whatever reason in overtime or however it worked out, they didn't. And I'm hoping for that excitement again this year.
Well, possession numbers are all the rage. So you can have 85% of the possession and have 24 shots, but if you're not putting them on frame and you give up that one opportunity for the other team and they capitalize, there you go. Men's soccer looking at a little bit different here. Washington, Lee, and Lynchburg tying atop the poll, 6 first place votes apiece. And that was all 12 of them, as there are 12 ODAC men's soccer playing schools as opposed to the 13 on the women's side. Interesting here, kind of when you look at the history of Washington, Lee, and Lynchburg, is that we haven't had another team since 2015 when Roanoke led the poll, lead the ODAC poll, other than Washington, Lee, and Lynchburg since that time. So it's, I mean, their dominance is evident when you look at that, at least from a preseason poll perspective. It's also evident from a championship perspective that I think the numbers are very similar in that as well. But could this be the time where we see maybe a Virginia Wesleyan who's sitting there at number 3 in the poll? And it's interesting because you look at those all-conference lists, and I think they've got a lot of those guys that are coming back here sitting on that one. Is it a Roanoke time to make a step up? And I know there's a big gap in points there after that. You know, Roanoke had 92 points, and then it's down to Hampton Sydney with 79 in fifth position. But is that indicative of maybe the talent that's coming in and maybe some step up there in Hampton Sydney or Shenandoah? Is it time for Randolph-Macon to make a step back up? So there's the preseason polls sometimes can, it obviously ranks people out and the numbers are what they are with the votes, but it doesn't necessarily indicate what the quality of the league is here. And I think from both sides, ODAC men's soccer and women's soccer, the poll points are what they are, but the quality of the league is not indicative of what those poll points. It's much better play. And I think we're going to see that here on the men's side.
Yeah, and I think it's so tightly wound when you get to the situation where you're not settling, you're dealing with ties and other things in the past where we've had this big, you know, we may have somebody with 4 or 5 ties that that make it in the standings. So, you know, they really didn't have a chance over the last couple of years without that overtime period to be able to settle games in the regular season. You know, that's really kind of kept things muddled together. And I think people know the eye test obviously tells you who's the better teams. And clearly, going into this year, the coaches are split, you know, with Washington and Lee and Lynchburg being at the top. So much the same. At the same time, you know, there are some newbies there. And I think, as you said, the ascension of what Virginia Wesleyan's done over the last couple of years to kind of get themselves right back in the mix. I mean, they were a powerhouse in men's soccer in our league for many, many years, talking about 50 years of the ODAC. They were right there after they came into the league in the late 80s, early 1990s, just a handful with Sonny Travis and winning a lot of championships over the years. So, you know, they're right back in the fray. And then we've got people like Roanoke, as you said, and Randolph-Macon and others that are kind of sitting right there perched for an upset here or there. The conference tournament should be another good one. Again, it kind of goes back to the whole conversation about women's soccer. It's soccer, and there'll be close-knit games, and we could have a number of games that could go into overtime to determine who advances in the tournament. So, you know, how does the NPI affect both of those two sports moving forward? You know, we've had the opportunity to work to have more than one team in the NCAA tournament. I think we're deserving probably in both of those sports to have more than one team, especially with the number of teams that we have competing for the AQ in the league. And we'll have to wait and see kind of how that continues to shake out. I don't think the coaches know enough about it. Super fortunate to have had John Waters serve on the National Men's Committee for a number of years there, and then the transition to the NPI to now have Tiffany Penns at Washington and Lee a part of that. So I think that'll be helpful because we'll start to learn a little bit more about the scheduling strategy that goes along with it. And, you know, again, despite the fact that we're super competitive in the league, our coaches do an amazing job of sharing together, trying to figure out how they can lift everybody up. If that's the bottom third, the middle, and the top third, you know, how can we help you achieve what you want to do in your program? And super proud of the fact that they've worked together to do that, and hopefully they'll continue to in the future.
We know that Lumumba Shabazz and his men's generals team got to go out to Las Vegas last year for the Final Four. This year, the ODAC is the home of the men's and women's Final 8 total, if you will. Final 4 teams on the women's side, Final 4 teams on the men's side will be playing at Roanoke College at Kerr Stadium here, and we've hosted that before. So feel free to come on out there the first week of I think it's December that we'll have those games, and it'll be 4 days of soccer with one sports semifinals on Thursday, the other one on Friday, one championship on Saturday, and another one there on Sunday. So if you're looking forward to some good Division III soccer, the best that we've got out there, it is always a great setup, and we'll be the national championship host for both of those setups, just like last year when we had men's and women's volleyball together. And as we segue to volleyball there, we had a Washington lead team that was in Salem at Roanoke College last year for the women's Final Eight that we host the quarterfinals, semifinals, and championship matches, all of there at Roanoke College in the Kreger Center. And Washington Lee tops this poll as well, just like the women's soccer. They garnered maximum points with 11 first place votes of the 12-team ODAC, so it's 121 points. Virginia Wesleyan and Bridgewater really close there. The up and coming team here, and you know it's hard when you do it like this because you get one school that gets every first place vote but one, so then you know where that school's vote went when there's only one left to go. And that remaining first place vote is going to Lynchburg, and maybe that's the up and coming squad here with head coach Kevin Cardoza, I think, going into his second year at Lynchburg, looking to see what he can do with the Hornets. And they're up into fourth position there, just ahead of Randolph-Macon there by a few points. But this poll fairly spread out, good positioning here in the poll throughout. I think we'll see what some of the coaches can do. We've seen some movement within the league. Kelsey Goodman going from Guilford now to Randolph-Macon, and Guilford having a new mentor in place. Averett has a new coach in place there in the middle there, as the Cougars are sitting seventh in the poll, with Emma Nash taking over, a recent graduate who was an assistant under Olivia Earls a little bit last year, stepping into it now. So we'll see exactly what these volleyball ranks look like, but it's Washington Lee that made the move last year, but there's still some teams that are up and coming, especially when you look at Washington Lee does have some of those all-conference players back, but a big linchpin to that they don't have back was the ODAC Player of the Year and their setter that was in last season. So we'll see how they replace that key component of their offense as we move here into the ODAC season.
Yeah, you know, a lot of change, as you said, certainly from a coaching perspective. You got a guy in Bill Rogers who had probably been at Randolph-Macon for, JJ, I don't know, 20, I mean, not 15 years, maybe more than that. Bill was coaching there. And certainly, I can't remember really where Randolph-Macon's volleyball team had fallen in the standings at that point in time. But Bill did a wonderful job of kind of getting Macon back and taking them 1 year, I believe, to the finals level of Division III women's volleyball and playing in the national kind of championship series. So it'd be a little bit of a change not having Bill on the sidelines this year. And then again, you've got a new addition to the offerings that isn't playing a full conference schedule this fall, but Sweetbriar will be coming back to the league, rekindling their volleyball program after a number of years with it on ice and starting play, a full conference play complement next year. So that's going to reengage the schedule that we previously had, where we had Ferrum as a part of the league. We'll be shifting some travel partners around a little bit and adjusting their schedule as we move forward. But, you know, we're happy to have Sweetbriar coming in on board, and I know they're excited about adding the sport. And, you know, it's just been it's been a lot of really cool things going on with volleyball, not only on the women's side, but also with the addition of men last year that it's kind of put the league in a volleyball mode. And I've certainly enjoyed watching both of them contest their championships last year, and hopefully look forward to a great women's season this year.
Yeah, you mentioned the coaching ranks, and it's interesting when you look at it a little bit here. There's four coaches that will be in their first season at their current ODAC school. I mentioned Kelsey Goodman. This is her third or her second season at an ODAC school, but her first season at Macon. But then on the other side, we've got four coaches with more than 200 wins. The first win for Bridgewater this year will be the 225th for Aaron Harris. Chris Myron, who's the new coach at Guilford, he's already on 300 wins, so he's still looking for his first Guilford win, giving this his first season running the Quakers. Blair Trail is at 425 right now, and 9 victories this year gets Brian Snyder to 700. So I know that there's a big difference there in that one, but he's got a 750 winning percentage. I mean, this is Brian Snyder's 28th year overall. He'll be his 26th at Washington and Lee. He's won 650 matches on the nose at W&L. So some significant milestones for him over the last couple of years. He obviously got to do that in the national championship set up last year with a couple wins inside of the tournament to get to Salem there. Didn't, unfortunately, wasn't able to win that quarterfinal match, but gave Hope a good run at it in that quarterfinal setup. This year, the tournament is, if you're looking at your men's and women's soccer and field hockey tournaments, volleyball is a week later, basically the same weekend that I think basketball starts is when the tournament or the volleyball regular season ends, on that November 8th weekend. So the NCAA tournament would begin the following weekend. And then the national championship this year is in Bloomington, Illinois at Illinois Wesleyan University, which was the host of the softball championships this past year. So looking forward to seeing if any of our schools can qualify into that, as well as to see what our schools can do when it comes to the field hockey ranks, as that's our last preseason poll that came out this past Wednesday. And in a similar scenario to the men's soccer world, you've got the University of Lynchburg and Shenandoah tying evenly with four first-place votes there, 60 points apiece. Washington Lee picked up the remaining first-place votes, and that's with good measure because they've got several all-conference players back from last year. But I think it's an interesting setup for the Hornets here, the two sets of Hornets. You got Jenny Relaford at the University of Lynchburg, which has, I think, 7 of 10 all conference athletes back this year. And then you have Ashley Smeltercraft at Shenandoah, which won last year's ODAC championship, won their first NCAA game ever. But then they lost a lot of that class. It was very senior laden, some graduate students in there. So really some respect there for Shenandoah coming in, respect obviously for Lynchburg with the players they've got coming back. And we'll see exactly how it hashes out once they take to the fields here in the ODAC, but looking forward to seeing exactly what the field hockey ranks look like here throughout the season, Brad.
Yeah, you know, in the growth of field hockey, obviously, JJ, kind of historically, to have more than one team participating in nationals for us is a great accomplishment. And, you know, looking forward to continuing to have, hopefully, as we move forward, have these two teams, or not just these two teams, but any of the two teams in the league contending and working their way up through the ranks. You know, it's nice to see. And as you said, I think certainly it sounds like Lynchburg has a cupboard full, and Coach Smeltercraft's going to have to do some work to get her Hornets kind of back out there at the championship level. But the coaches obviously feel like the talent's there. They know what's going on, right? They know what's going on behind the scenes with recruits. They know who's coming in, and they obviously feel like Coach Smeltercraft still got a good stable group of student athletes to be able to compete for the championship.
Well, there's no doubt about that. But this is another sport where we've seen some coaching turnover here. We have four first season head coaches, three of them first season overall, with Emily Bagby, Sydney Metz, and Baylor Baxley at Bridgewater EMU and Virginia Wesleyan, respectively. And then Bella Condi's got her first season at Sweetbriar coming up, but she's in her second season overall as a collegiate head coach. So some newness going on there, but we do have some high caliber, high win totals on this group as well. As Coach Brianna Banks is on 126 at Roanoke. Ashley Smeltercraft is at 161. And Gina Wills at Washington Lee, 6 wins, and she gets to 250 for her career. She spent, I think 8 years at DePaul before coming to WNL, so she's got 123 wins as a general. So some good coaching dichotomy here if you look at that throughout the coaching ranks here in field hockey. National championship set up this past year, again, another one that was in ODAC country last year, as we had it at Washington and Lee, and they did a very nice job hosting that championship. This year it goes up into New England, as will be at Trinity College, and that's in Hartford, Connecticut. So looking forward to seeing if some of our schools, or at least one of our schools, I'm being greedy there when I say some of our schools, but one of our schools can kind of get over that hump, see if they can get into that Final Four setup there, which we know is uber competitive when you think about the schools and where the base of the sport is in the upper middle Atlantic and into the Northeast region here, and just seeing what some of our schools can do from there, as it takes a really gargantuan effort in recruiting to get to that type of level here from our area, given that the club ranks and the high school ranks aren't nearly as strong as some of the other places on the Eastern Seaboard here. But lots of things to hear happen with the traditional fall sports, if you will, that host their championships here in the fall season. We did mention that we've got golf, both men's and women's, that are active here this week. Brad, the national poll for the men's rankings came out just this a couple days ago, I believe, and you got Washington Lee's coming in as number 2 behind Methodist in that poll coming out. You have Lynchburg, I think, is ranked 8th. Guilford is tied for 15th in that. I want to say Hampton Sydney is somewhere either 19-20 range, And then Averett is receiving votes toward the poll. So a good representation for the ODAC there. We have a couple schools that are in action on the women's side, as I think Lynchburg and Randolph-Macon are heading to Ohio to compete in the annual Denison tournament. The early season tournament happens there this weekend. And that's a good early litmus test, because that'll be a strong field that that Denison is hosting. I think it's called the Lynn Schweitzer Invitational, and they do a nice job hosting that one there in Ohio. So a good event for that one. And then men's tennis starts this weekend, but we'll have some early season men's and women's tennis throughout, as both sets will have an ITA Southeast Regional that'll come up in back-to-back weeks, I think hosted by University of Mary Washington again. So look forward to not only some of these smaller events and maybe a couple ODAC matches here for men's and women's tennis, but the regional IT events or ITA events that'll come up that could lead to better things depending on the results that come out for some of our players, both singles and doubles. It is an invitational individual or single or doubles teams type of event, so not a school event. So we're looking for individual singers players to advance to, say, the ITA Cup, which I think is the next round if you advance at a certain point from the ITA regionals. And then some of the other schools like Methodist and Randolph College will be hosting some other invitationals throughout here, Brad. So I think we got a lot of things to look forward to here. We're going to continue to do some more with the ODAC Hall of Fame features and the ODAC 50th features, and as well as, you know, working through our new partners with Flow College here as we get in through the regular season into ODAC play and then into ODAC tournament play. Brad, any final thoughts here for the group as we get ready to start action here on this Friday?
No, I feel like we were just wrapping up the Women's Lacrosse National Championship in Salem at the end of May. And no, I have no idea where June and July and the better part of August went. So it is upon us. I had a couple conversations with a couple ADs over the last couple of days, and it's here, and we're super excited about it. I know our institutions are as well. And you know, the weather has really positions itself extremely well in our portion of the country to have a great weekend to start conference play. I was thinking about the cross country race that they're having at Bridgewater. They're not going to have any problems with the heat exhaustion issue. No. It's going to be gorgeous. And it's going to be really nice. His first meets of the year are always concerned about heat exhaustion, how far they're running, and the weather's certainly going to work out extremely well for that. And look forward for the start of football season in the fall with games kicking off next weekend.
Yes, sir. Well, folks, stay tuned for our next show. We'll be talking a little bit more about some of the ODAC 50 and the ODAC Hall of Fame features, as well as seeing what our first results look like here from the early fall action. So for Brad Bankston, I'm JJ Nekloff. This is the ODAC Podcast.